Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Amber.
Hi.
How are you guys? Missed you so much.
Missed you. I was going to say, we need to do this more than once a year, and preferably in person.
I would love that. That'd be cool. Where are we going?
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Okay, well.
We travel well. That's one thing we can do. We might not be tech savvy, but we can get on a flight and go anywhere you want to go.
Be like, I'll travel.
Okay, I'll make that work.
Hawaii. I'm just kidding.
I mean.
Don't tempt me. I'll be like, babe, sorry. I'll
business
be back.
Trip.
Yeah, I'll be back in 10 days.
Business expense.
Yeah. Literally.
100%.
Out of our personal accounts, but it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. It's totally fine.
It's a write-off.
It's a write-off.
We're here to discuss book three.
Book three?
Like, I can't believe it's book three already. Of the Gods and Monsters series. The Dawn of the Cursed Queen. And honestly, might be my favorite one yet.
Yeah, girl.
Honestly, that makes me so happy because I had so much fun writing it. I was laughing the entire time. My editor was giggling at certain parts and stuff too. And I feel like I have set this bar for me and my readers. Love them to pieces, but they don't trust me, which fair. And they were like, you're going to hurt us again. And I'm like, not this one.
No, not this one.
No, I was going to say, I was expecting you to hurt me.
And I went in with the intention that I was going to be crushed.
Right, and I was messaging you after I finished, and I was like, I had to keep getting up and go in the ocean, because I was like getting so nervous reading the last like 25%. I was like, I'm waiting for something terrible to happen.
You're like, there's a shoe that should be dropping? Where is it, Amber?
And think, you know, we're gonna post this once everything comes out. So I'm like, we can do spoilers.
Oh, great. I love spoilers.
I like
about
that you've
time.
Created this, like, atmosphere of keeping us on the edge, though. Like, I think that's really cool that you can, you've done that in just two books, which is kind of wild.
Yeah.
But
I feel very privileged.
Like, I like that you're like, you don't know what I'm gonna give you, but you're gonna have to go just find out. Mm-hmm. But I will say, this was fucking hysterical. Like, my first highlight is literally the intro, like things that have been happened in the past. Apparently, her maker, Kabitch, sorry, my pen slipped, Kaden. I was like, this girl, like, I'm giggling at 1 o'clock in the morning right now over this shit.
I had so much fun. Cameron is so fun, though, too, because he's like that, the part that just says whatever's on his mind, and we love him for it, you know? I was so excited to have him do the, like, recap. And you guys know I'm a big Vampire Diaries girly, so I was like, previously on.
It was so good. Great. So good.
And I appreciate a previously on, because a lot happened in the last book. I actually went back and like kind of listened to the podcast, because I was like, I need a refresher. And it was like so nice to like read it and also get it from Cameron's POV, because he's just like my favorite character. Like, I love him so much.
He's a mess, and I love him too.
He is a mess.
One thing I feel like you've done, you write fantasy romances. I feel like there's so many out there. No matter if it's book one, book five of a series, sometimes it takes readers like 20% before they feel like they're smooth sailing. Because there's just like such a heaviness to the fan, like, and I get it, like you're building worlds, you're setting all these like things up. I don't get that with your writing. Like, I feel like it's like you open the book, you're immediately transported, and you're there, and it's just easy, smooth sailing. Like, I don't know how the hell you do that, but it's insane that I feel like I just like, I don't know, I feel like it's just like, it's so good, and it's so easy just to, like, fall back into it.
Yeah, like, the world building is so effortless that it's not, it's so deep and complex, but it's not hard to grasp because it's, like, woven in so, like, perfectly with the story.
Yeah.
I really
like, there is
that.
No 20% buffer to, like, get going. You're just going.
Just in there, yeah. I can appreciate that. I always feel like it can be a little, it can be a lot, I guess. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna just try to put this in like we're cooking, you know, like just add these little ingredients in, sprinkle them here and there, and then like kind of get the bigger pot, I guess, towards the end. So I know, like with any world building, starting a fantasy book, you're like, what are these names? But I really do appreciate that because, like I said, I was so worried. I was like, oh, maybe I need to like backscale a little bit. Because especially
No,
book three, I mean, we're in a whole different area. Like,
I was gonna say, oh, there's a lot new in book three, like new worlds, new, I guess, species, like new characters, a lot of new names to learn. But they're not hard names. I feel like
No.
I got them. I got them. I can
Good,
say them right now.
good.
I was happy
I
to get
tried.
them. And I liked that there was, though, obviously there's a lot going on and a lot of it's like people are, things happen. But I feel like you still have this like lightness to it, like in a humor sense, which is kind of cool coming off of book two, which like you
Was
really made
heavier.
your readers feel what Diana was feeling. So it was kind of cool, like a flip side of this where like I feel like I like highlighted so many Diana moments because like Diana, why is your face red? And like she like wipes it and she's like, I ate the guards. Like I don't know, like I just like was like, I'm eating this shit up. This
She's
is
like, you
amazing.
didn't know? No,
Like.
and that's the thing I was telling when me and my editor was talking about it and like, how I've been promoting the book and stuff. I'm like, this one's like a band-aid. Like it's not as heavy, and I really don't feel like any other book in the series, even though things happen or whatever, I don't feel like any other book in the series is as heavy as book two was, but we had to get through that, explore her grief and heal her to get where we're at. So it's a part of the process, but yeah, no, book three was it was so many funny things that even I was laughing at when I was typing, and I'm like leaving this in here. It's the same thing with like four and five and stuff. Like you get this, you get to explore more of like their other sides besides the like, epic powers and stuff like this, or just the overall overwhelming emotions. Because we were like enemies to lovers to enemies again, and so it's
But I
like,
think
okay,
that's
let's
how
have
you
fun.
give readers the opportunity to connect, because you have a good amount of characters. But like, instead of them just being like these side characters, you're giving them backstories and like weight and volume. So it's like, I mean, I don't know what you have in store for us for the next couple, but like, I think if there's anything that were to happen, it'll make the readers feel more, which is really cool to experience. So you start to like. The camera, like you start to like connect with these different characters, like even with Miska, like she's newer, and I hope I'm saying her name correct. Like, I feel like you're kind of already getting a sense of who she is, and I'm sure there's got to be some sort of importance for her, and like maybe not the biggest import, but like she's gonna play some roles. But I feel
Everything
like
has
if
a
anything,
reason.
there's a reason. But I feel like you're already kind of building up who she is, so like your readers are already connecting to her in this book, and I'm sure that'll continue.
Yeah, and like, I mean, not even the side characters that we love, but also the side characters that we might hate. We get a really good background. I think you said this too after book two.
We talked about this the other day,
Yeah,
yeah.
even though like we know Caden is not a good guy, you make him like likable in certain situations where you're almost like,
Listen.
is he that bad? And then he does something bad, you're like, he is that bad. Well, I love that he's not one note.
No, my beta readers and my arc readers said that too, and they were like, "How dare you make me like feel even a fraction of like pity for him?" But the thing was, so in book one, you get Sam Keel and Diana's POV, and then as you divulge, you get everyone else's. This has been like in the works, like ground zero, things I've built. I had just been hinting at certain things for certain characters, you could say, their past, etc. But as the book goes on, you get to explore that. So I've had comments before, and not anything bad, like I said, I love my readers, where they're like, don't give Caden a redemption arc. And I was like, I'm not redeeming anybody. I showed you who this person is. I'm showing you why this person is this way. And I'm showing you if they have an importance in the story, and if they don't, you know what I mean? So it's kind of been. It's been the whole process, the whole thing from the beginning. It's just you're now getting further into the story and you're seeing everything that I already know that you guys didn't know. You know what I mean? And so the same thing with like Vincent and stuff. Like you're seeing the stuff that Sam Keeler, has hinted at, or like he's never talked about this and he acts a certain way about this way, but you're seeing because you're in his head. You know what I mean? So it's not like, well, I'm gonna make up for all the terrible things they did. It's like, no, I'm not. I'm just. This is
This
why,
is
you know?
right.
And it's almost like if this whole story was like from Caden's POV and he was the main character,
I would love him, and I would be like, I understand why he's that, because we love Diana. We know that Diana has done terrible things, but because it's her story, we love her. So I feel like, I mean, we've said this, like, she is a villain who we love, and now we're rooting for her, and she's, you know, obviously making amends with some of the things from her past, but she didn't start out bad. She was kind of like put into positions and molded into that. And you kind of get that with Caden when you find out more about like his backstory with his father and like how him and Isaiah were banished and like this whole thing. So I'm like, if it was from Caden's POV, this whole story, like if he was the main character, I would probably love Caden and be like, yes, like I don't care that you're bad, because
and Sam Kiel would be the villain. You know what I mean?
It's exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's just, it's all a matter of perspective, which I think is so fun in storytelling too, because it's one of the trickier, and one of the trickier things with writing multiple POVs is you just have to remember, like, what Diana knows, Sam Kiel doesn't know. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, he might now, but what Caden sees and views, you know, Isaiah doesn't view, and vice versa. So, like, even though these events happen and stuff, they don't know the how, why, or when kind of thing. And so, like, it's just so, it's so fun to see it all, like, kind of come together, like, because I can finally get into it, and I've just been, like, waiting. So now that, like I said, book three is out, and you guys are like, oh, I kind of do like this, I'm like, I was waiting for this, you know?
I even think, and this is, like, something that we discussed after both reading, she finished before I, but, like, you, again, fantasy, like, I feel like a lot of times, like, writers can get, like, hung up on, like, the quest.
Yeah.
And it's just like almost this whole like questy journey of like 500 plus pages. And it's like, I mean, we love a quest, love a quest, but you can drag it out and make it like, okay, like when do we, you sprinkle in things throughout the way where it doesn't feel like
daunting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Girl, you're good.
I love you. Stop. I'll blush. That has to go back to like just my nerdy ways, because I'm such a like Lord of the Rings girly.
I feel like I'm literally in a Lord of the Rings movie. Like
that's kidding. That's gonna make my entire life. I have to tell all of my friends once this is over. but I'm such a big like Lord of the Rings and Marvel, and like just I love that stuff. You know what I mean? So in all of those, or even video games and stuff that like, you know, I'll play with my friends and all, like they all do have like a quest or a main plot line, but like with books and stuff that I like to read or the stuff that I like to write, I like that it's like you said, mixed in between. So we're getting character development as a plot resource, and we're also getting like this quest line as a plot resource. And then, like I said, with book three and how it goes on, you're also getting sprinkles of like politics now, how their world works, who's in charge, who's not in charge. Like, so it's kind of just fun. And like you said, the little side quests, like that's the gamer in me coming out, where I'm just like, oh, side quests, have to attain this. You know what I mean? So, but no, I appreciate that. I'm glad that you guys enjoy that.
It's like equal parts, like action questy and equal parts, like character driven.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it's just, it's not, I mean, there are books that are all plot driven and it's like very like, just have to get here, here and here. And then there's a lot that are just all character driven and like, what is the plot? It's like very much like, I kind of feel like a 50-50 split. Like there's a lot of character growth, but they're also like, okay, we do need to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And you, they're growing by going on these like little.
But it gives readers more to talk about. Like,
yeah.
It's not like, yes, can we theorize? And we have a little bit as to like, okay, like Miska, like definitely going to have to play a role somehow. Like the, like who the I people are like that. Like we can start like, not that, I mean, I can't theorize for fucking shit. So, like, let's honestly, like, I'll be honest with you. But you can have those conversations as a reader. Yeah. But I also think kind of going back to, like, your I don't want to call them, like, well-rounded villains. But, like, you're under, I guess you could, right? Yeah. Like, they're not all inherently pure evil. Mm-hmm. So, like, you just give a lot of, like, you give us a lot to talk about. And that's kind of nice also. Like, it's not just all, like, well, this is what's going to happen. That's going to happen. It's like, well, kind of like what you're saying, too, like, a redemption arc, like, that's how you interpreted it. Like, maybe someone as a reader was like, Caden might, like, be slightly, or Vincent might be slightly redeemed here and there. Like, because, like, I could not believe the twist you threw us with Vincent and Camilla's hands. I was like, oh, shit.
I got yelled at.
I saw that coming a mile away. And then the minute they, like, were, like, plotting in the cells, he's like, okay, no one can hear us. Like, that was great. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? I did not expect that.
I got yelled at for that, and also for the scene when Caden's like, oh, there's my head. So I got yelled at for both of those, and I'm like, plot twist. and I mean, like, it's just you're seeing the history of them, you know, so it's not like, I'm going to make this person so evil and then I'm going to make him so good, because that's never going to be Caden. I'm saying that now. That's never going to be Diana or Isaiah. Like, it's always going to be that line of morally gray. And I was telling one of my friends, when we were talking about the book and stuff, and I was like, I feel like my people, like my readers and stuff, if they like the originals, I feel like they'll like this series, because, you know, it's kind of giving you an idea of where it's going and what's happening and stuff. Because we love Klaus, we love Elijah. Does that mean they're good people?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just so fun. But yeah, no, I did get yelled at for that. It was a good trick. Vincent played his role very well, and so did Camilla.
Yeah,
I remember though, Camilla's good at being like kind of bad too. Like,
I love Camilla.
I'm really excited to see what you give with give her for like for the for your readers. Like, she's obviously, I think there's more to her than even what we've seen. Mm-hmm. I'm just like really excited for what's to come with her. Like, I really cannot wait to see what you give us.
It's so funny. Like, over the course of the three books, like, my opinions have changed. Besides on, like, Diana and Sammy Baby. But, like, on every other... on camera, too. He's always been, like, the love of my life. But, like, my opinions have changed so much on so many characters. Like, honestly, the roller coaster of Vincent, this entire book, I was like, hate. Like, oh, I might love... No.
Love him. I don't know. Maybe. Come back and ask me. Yeah.
But also, like, what drives it too? Like, I think it's gonna be kind of cool to see. Like,
we don't really
everyone
know.
Has different motives.
Yes,
like there's really not do. Just like it's not like you're following.
The only person who is inherently good is Sam Keel.
Yeah,
like,
I said that from the beginning.
Who is like inherently good and like, and okay, so we are normally reading fantasy books where it's like. We kind of have the opposite here. It's like reverse grumpy sunshine, right? Mm-hmm. We never get a sunshine male main character in a fantasy series, especially one like this series is very dark. And we're getting like golden retriever energy
it's
from
amazing.
Him. And I love that so much.
Yeah. It's so good.
I said that from the beginning too. I was like, he's like the nicest person in this entire universe. Fair warning. So he's like the Buffy of the universe, you know what I mean? Like, he's the protector of those who can't protect themselves and all this, and like he kind of shows, I mean, you see that way more in book 3 too. The Griffin, I'm like, this boy talks to animals and he's just like, I'll help you, and it's just like, I kind of like this dude, can you save the world, you know what I mean? So he's definitely, and I like that conundrum kind of him and Diana, because it's like this morally good and she's morally bad. And so, like, their banter is so funny. Even with them being together, like, that's not going to change. Then, like, you see him, how he interacts with the world and everything else and just everyone around him kind of situation. It's just, we needed that. We need that in this.
We do, because everybody else is kind of flip-flopping all over the place.
Yeah.
But you mentioned, obviously, them together and staying together, and I feel like we need to talk about this wedding.
That was my favorite part. I was so, like, I was telling, like I said, my editor again, I was so excited for that. And I was like, I just want the book to be out now because I want them to read it, because it's like, it's deserved. Like, we needed this. And there is no universe where if Sam Keel finds out that, well, one, in the second one, you know, he was like, oh, if you're not my mate, I don't care. I love you. Destiny be damned, right? But then to find out that was his mate and they don't have the mark, and so he's like, okay, well, we'll just get the mark, it'll be fine. And to find out that he can't, there's no universe that he's like, oh, well, that's it. He's like, next best thing, let's go right now.
So. I loved the whole like kind of like ceremony that like and everything like that, like the he has to do, like and I mean, I was, like, dying, like, when they, like, got into the fight and he, like, left. And the whole time he's, like, I was looking for a stone to put in this ring instead of this whole wedding.
But she's, like, he's wrong with somebody else. Like,
I know.
What is he doing?
That's her, that's, like, her damage side coming out, which I feel like we all have you know, we experience things growing up and relationships and stuff, and so you always have that like voice in the back of your head, and that's hers because like all the stuff she's been through, she's like, this is it, this is over, it's okay, I'm still gonna help him, blah blah blah. And then we'll like part, like she's just like running through, like how we do anyways, running through seven different ways to figure this out, and he's like, well, in my culture the ceremony has to go this way and this way, and she has to approve this, you know. So it was just a funny dynamic because it was sad. I did cry on the whole like breakup, non-breakup scene, because it's like, that's his line. And I don't think we've seen that from him yet, because in book two, she's destroying the world and doing all this stuff. And he's like, I love her and I'll protect her and keep her safe. And then in this part, he's like, you lied to me. I don't know. You know, I don't know if this is it, you know? And I wanted to kind of play into that to show that, one, it gives more realism to the relationship, and two, he does have a limit. Everyone does, you know?
Yeah. It is kind of cool you did draw that out, because, like, you're right. Like, book two was just, like, him, like, I love her no matter what she does or what she burns. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, oh, okay, like,
you hurt me. Yeah.
Can put his paw down a little bit and be like, hold up. Like, I won't let anything pass this.
No. Well, lying's a big thing for him, you know? Like, his dad lied the whole time.
Yeah,
like, that's his sore spot. So, that's a no-no for him.
I was terrified that, like, they were, like, separated and that Caden was going to come with that, like, memory.
Oh,
yeah. I was like, I will kill Ryan.
If she does this right now, it's over. No. No, I wanted that for the big end. I always feel like I have a big thing that I do at the end of every book, because it makes me feel like, I posted this earlier, actually, where, like, when I'm writing my books, it feels like a movie in my head. Mm-hmm. And so I always have, like, something big at the end, whether it's a battle, confession, whatever. Something huge at the end, because it reminds me of a movie every time. And, no, the dagger, that had to be at the end, because I wanted the whole epic fight and stuff, so
it was kept me on the edge of my seat like the entire time. I was like, where's the dagger?
I know, I kept mentioning,
I feel
like slowly
a lot in it to this book that, like, I feel like you're throwing things at, again, I don't know how to pick up on clues, but all I can think of is, like, there's something going on with those who are kind of, like, brainwashed, but, like, obviously, like, you're there.
Yeah.
There's, the like, with, yeah, the hand. And then, like, there's something going on, like, you brought this up to me. You were, like, the last Reggie chapter.
Like, yeah. I had to reread it, like, four times, and I'm like, what's happening?
You're hit, like, I just feel like there's, like, yes, like, you're throwing things out. I don't know what the fuck to do with them.
Right.
But I'm hoping to read some
There's stuff that's been talked about again in this book that was spoken about either in book one or two, and it's, like, sprinkled back in.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. I like my little breadcrumbs. I was telling Michaela, she's my personal assistant, I was texting her, and I was like, I love leaving my breadcrumbs, so at the very end of the series, we have a whole loaf. We have a whole loaf of bread. But it's just little stuff you pick up on, and you'll see a lot of it in book four, because I can't give those spoilers, but of their conversation and stuff. So it's just like little tidbits here and there. So don't feel bad if you're not picking up on all of them. There's a lot.
Totally,
there's a lot of breadcrumbs.
Totally. But I just feel like there's like your highlights were insane. Like, I just feel like you're like, you really are kind of going,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's things like that are being sprinkled in there. I'm like,
yeah.
I know this is important.
I just don't know why.
Like,
yeah,
there's
don't
something,
know why yet. Yeah.
There's a and you do tend to repeat a few things throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, even the two of us were texting, we're like, she keeps bringing this up. She keeps bringing this up. Like, there's a reason she's got to keep bringing this up.
Mm-hmm.
Girl.
There is. She's like, yeah, and that's all you're going to hear about that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why does his name keep coming up? Why does this come up? I don't know.
And, like, even if you're bringing on, like, all your new characters, like, is it Orym?
Yeah, Orym. Mm-hmm. I liked him with his little tail.
Even like him and his twin. I'm like, there's a reason for these people.
I did not trust them the whole time.
Same.
And then like, yeah, I was like, trust them. I mean, they end up.
Yeah.
I keep thinking, like, oh, we can't say it. We can say it. It's three
Listen.
Of us. But yeah, I was like, the whole time.
Everyone has a purpose. whether that purpose is short or long lived, then
Exactly.
purpose.
There's a reason why they're being intrigued. Which I also like that you do that. Like, you just don't write somebody in
right
to write
yeah
a character in. Like, you're not fluffing this up. You don't need fluff. Like,
no.
You got it, girl. Like, it's all there. Like, you're giving us something, and there's a reason for everything, which
yeah
is, again, like, I very much admire, like, your creative mind, because I could never do such a thing.
No.
But, like, there's, I feel like anytime I, like, now that, like, I've understood a little bit of your writing now, this is, like, my third book, like, I'm like, this girl's doing this for a reason. Like, there's a reason why Amber is writing this, and again, we will find out, and I'm gonna be like, oh, shit, later on, but, like, you write with purpose,
yeah,
which I feel like, again, not everyone does.
Oh, it's so funny. I love that you said that. I adore you. And I'm thinking over here, you're talking about writing with purpose, and I'm over here, like, I've already written some for book six because, like, certain things are just moving along, and I'm just like, oh, I need to add this. Yeah, so just, that's my brain.
Is that like, how you're, like, if you're, like, on auto drive, like, I would love to understand your mind, but, like,
yeah,
do you just, like, pop out something, you're like, oh, shit, this might be, like, a good thing for, like, book this, like, or, oh, my mm-hmm God, that could, like...
Yeah, so
that's
the
insane
entirety of the series,
you need a
like
a board in your house with like lines everywhere. I think
no,
that's what they
I feel like I need to. I do have like a whole notes app and stuff where it's like it'll be like book 4, 5, 6, whatever, and like say some scenes or quotes or whatever's in those. But like say for right now, I'm finishing book 4 to turn that in, and then like a phrase or something's repeated, and I'm like, this needs to make sure that it's in like 6, and this whole plot line needs to make sure that it's summed up there too. Blah blah blah. So yeah, it's just, you know, they say when you're little you have an overactive imagination, and honestly, fair. That's me.
I feel like it's very JK Rowling for you to plot like that, like the ring compass, like you're literally like closing, you
yeah
know what I mean, like you bring things up but like it circles back into like
yeah
something
it
else.
It always
like,
does, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool. My mind doesn't work like that.
My mind's like, you're not asleep, so let's plot 3 more books.
Which is insane. Yeah, okay, so I think last year you said 7 or 8 would, like, be the series. Do you have, like, a definitive?
The definitive 7. So I always said it was going to be 6 or 7, and either 7 would be a full-length novel or a novella. But
okay
with how it's going now, I feel like it's only fair to the story and characters that 7 is a full book.
Okay.
Especially with the characters that we do have and the stuff we're going through, because I do not like anything rushed. And by that, I just meant like how we introduce some characters this time and their relationships. Those I don't feel like should be rushed. It wouldn't have the same impact. And a lot of stuff happens in 4 that promotes a lot of stuff in 5 that does not help that to be wrapped up. I'm trying to say this as spoilery, like non-spoilery as possible. That 6 really needs the one that fleshes that out of the
okay
things that happen. Yeah, so I think that
You're
makes scared sense.
Yeah, cool. What the hell?
Well, I said that book 3 would be great and fun. I'm not a liar. I told you guys 2 would be heavy. 4
like, I'm
is
not making any promises for any of the other things. I could just promise you 3 was okay.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They're like, 4 you're gonna hurt me in 3, and I'm like, no, not 3.
That's amazing. Everything else though is on the table, so
yeah.
I mean, you have to expect some. I mean, listen, 3 was fun, and 3
yeah
was great, but there were parts that did hurt. Like when we find
yeah
the first like, Imogen chapter, when we're like, oh my god, she's in there, and like
yeah
she's about to be, for I mean, not putting it lightly, but like she's about to be raped,
yeah,
and again, Isaiah comes
yeah
in and like rescues her, but you're like, Isaiah not good, but Isaiah kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I know. And so, like I said, I keep breaking my editor, but like she's like, we're like this. Like we talk about everything in this book and go
yeah
over plot points and stuff, because like I said, everything's plotted out. Like I know certain things have to happen a certain way. But 2 things. 1, we're in Nismira's like palace war camp. She's not aligned with morally good people, and morally
no
bad people do a lot. Can I cuss on this?
Yes.
Girl, have
morally
you heard me?
Morally bad people do a lot of shitty things, you know what I mean? And a lot of things that are grotesque and, you know, it's just, we don't like it. And so, Imogen being stuck here with these, I wouldn't even say people, like, you have these different beings who are just, like, so low and, like, you know, work for Nismira and do whatever she says. And, like, we don't even go into topics about, like, how she takes over these places. Like, she's just, she's a terrible person. Terrible
yeah
all around.
She's
No, and you're not gonna like her. You're gonna hate her as the story keeps going. I'm gonna tell you that. She, and like, I know we talked about Cade being redeemable. She is not redeemable at all. She's like a sociopath. It's insane. Yeah. Anyways, but like, you have Imogen who's stuck in with like these just terrible people, and like, there was no way, especially the, you know, Jiraiya, who she had like relations with and stuff. Like, if they're like, oh, let's pay whatever, blah, blah, blah. But like, you have her in this terrible situation, and Isaiah, for whatever reason, is like, you know, goes and saves her. And Camilla mentions this later on, where Kane's like, oh, well, you just don't know him. She's like, you doing that or stopping that does not make you like this angel be all. That should just be a normal response. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I really wanted that in the story to show that it's like basic human kind of, well, not even human, but basic human kindness, whatever, you know? So like I said, you said earlier, I like when people compare my books to like dark romantasy, even though we're romantasy, because there is a lot of heavy themes, mm-hmm. and a lot of stuff that's talked about or suggested, or even the overall vibe of it. But yeah, like, girl.
Yeah, because even Vincent, like, we know that he's very reluctantly in this relationship with Nizmira. Yeah. And
I mean, it's kind of hinted at that, you know? Like,
you very much hinted at
it. I was going to say, it's not that I want to compare your book to any other book, but it's giving me in my head, I was like, it's like Reese and Amarantha, where he's like, kind of like, I have to do this.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I guess in a sense, the thing is, Vincent. This is a spoiler, right? I'm about to go off.
No.
Not in a bad way. But, like, Vincent, and it's, like I said, this is another situation where we're exploring the complexity of SA in the topic of dialogue, because it's something that, unfortunately, a lot of people can relate to. Mm-hmm. Male and female, they, them, you name it. Like, people can relate to it. And it's not put in the book to be like, I'm gonna like shock you, surprise you. It's just something that like maybe will help someone that reads it heal, or even someone who writes it heal. You know what I mean? And so with Vincent, he's forced. He literally talks about how like he thought they were in love at first. Like I said, sociopath here. Yeah. She tricks him in a very intimate moment and literally binds her will to him. You know what I mean? Like this, you know, quote unquote unbreakable spell. And so this goes back to what Sam Keel says in, like, book one when he's talking to Diana. Like, you know, he's been through some stuff he doesn't even tell us about. Like, he acts a certain way, blah, blah. Because Sam Keel doesn't, he can't tell him. He can't. He, whatever she says, he has to do. And it's just, it's uncomfortable and it's unfair to him. And, like I said, I didn't write that. That was already planned in the beginning. It's not in there to get, like, Vincent, who did some unforgivable things, sympathy. It's just the truth of the matter. And I, like I said, I feel like that's still a form of good storytelling. Like, it's not a cop-out, you know?
No.
And those theme... I'm sorry.
You didn't do it, like, in, like, a gratuitous manner where it was, like, for shock value. Like,
no,
we
absolutely
knew it was happening, but you didn't, like, write it in there. It's not something graphic that, like, people are going to be like, and, like, you only did it for that reasoning. And I think it's a good, like, point to that. One, like you said, like, men, like, can also be sexually assaulted, but he was consenting at first, and then he stopped consenting.
Things changed.
Exactly.
And it's kind of like, you know, that point that consent can be taken away at any point, like, at any, no matter who
just
you
because
are.
You start, and I like that you did that, too. Like, just because someone starts out in a relationship, and it's wonderful and beautiful or whatever, and you're both, you know, consent, like you're saying, consenting adults, it doesn't matter at any point if someone doesn't want to anymore.
Yeah.
It's a flip of the switch. And I do think, I like that you do bring some awareness to it. And again, for a male perspective as well.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It can happen to men. It's not just women.
Right. No. So.
I think you wrote that in seamlessly and beautifully, not in a way where it could be taken at anything else, but like just face value. Like, this is what it is.
Yeah. And it's, like I said, she's not good.
Yeah.
She never has been.
She's the only character that I can say that I've read that I'm like, she is bad all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No redemption.
So. No.
I had to hear that, because I was like, if you're going to make me like her at some point.
No, not at all. Okay. I don't even think that's a massive spoiler. I think that's going to be known, especially in 4. It's just not. So, girl, sorry. It's just, she's, like, I don't know, like, I feel Sounds so funny. I told you I'm such a Marvel girly, but she's like my Avengers level threat. You know what I mean? You know, you get
Yeah.
Thanatos in there and like all of them. But yeah, it's she's the one that's been kind of pulling the strings from the beginning, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I love Marvel too, and this whole like storyline with like the brothers and like the evil sisters like giving me very
That's
much
true, yeah.
Thor like with
I love
Hela and like
that.
and I was like, okay, like she's like the big bad sister who the father is like get rid of them, whatever. And yeah, and like now she's back to come like avenge basically
It was
herself.
so funny though too because like I said I've been writing this book forever and then like that comes out and I'm just like, oh God, no, I didn't copy, I swear.
No,
But
no.
it just made me laugh. But yeah, I mean you have like it's a lot of family dynamics and a lot of stuff that you find out, like I said, as we keep going because it's part of the story and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like I can't say a lot because I'm like, oh,
Yeah,
it's a spoiler too.
yeah. But it's
But
you
yeah.
give again, like you give us as readers, like something interesting to take away. Like there is not just going to be one way to resolve and defeat Ms. Mara. Like
Yeah.
there's gonna be, I think, like even like the Vincent Camilla. Like is Camilla going to help Vincent sever that tie that he has with her? But again, that it might not be to help the greater good of Diana and Sammy's mission, but it's just another like different, like I'm thinking of like a spider web, right? Like those webs
Yeah.
just
The connect, like
this
everything
ooh,
connects.
it's just something else coming out of it that like is going to, yes, help a villain, because Vincent is a villain in his own right, but like you want to also see that resolved for him. You don't want to ever see someone subjected to what he's subjected to,
Right.
right? So it's just you kind of give us like a bunch of things to look at, like from all these different angles of like what's going to happen, how is it going to play into things, like if they can sever that bond, like is something else going to come? Like you just don't. I think it's kind of cool that you can really make us think not so linear, but just like a well-rounded like what else can be at play here and what can happen because of it.
Yeah,
A
and
ripple
there's
effect, if you
so
will.
many possibilities.
So many
So
possibilities.
many
And that's
possibilities.
all I can say.
No, so many possibilities. It's funny, like you said, everything's connected because it is. And one of my ARC readers, love her so much. She's very good at like finding and seeing little crumbs I left and highlighting, right? And I was like, give me my book back because you're gonna figure something out before you need to, right? And I was just laughing with her, but her predictions for four, and I'm like, oh, she didn't get one of them, and not in a bad way, but I'm just like, I think I did really well on hiding what's gonna
No,
happen in four.
you gave us really, and again, like I can't theorize, so I can't really speak to like those who can, but like I feel like you did a really nice job of like I knew things were important. Like we keep saying this, like I knew something seemed important.
I don't know
I
why though.
really just don't know why. Like you keep repeating things, and you're giving us a point, but I just don't know why.
And then
And
the
you're
way
like,
it ends
yet.
too, like we know there's a whole nother like
Oh my
I mean
God,
like cast of
yeah.
characters that are gonna
Yeah.
be playing an important role. I'm waiting to see if Kaden and Isaiah like turn on their sister, or if like
Yeah.
they turn on each other, or I'm thinking that
You're like,
something's
I'm looking in
important
between
there.
this. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't
Who
know. Who knows? Not me.
knows?
Not me at all. I do like their dynamic though too, because it's like, you know, Kaden made the point to say that I love two people, which is Diana and
Yes.
Isaiah, and it's like, oh, that's weird. You didn't miss your sister.
Right.
So weird. But no, I did like that dynamic of the brother because like it does kind of show you now that even though he was locked on Anya with Diana and everyone, and loved her and wanted to stay with her, like, you know, getting back to his brother was important too. So it's
Yeah.
like, how do I betray one love for another love, even though they're different kinds of love, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's kind of like that's what I like that you do though. Like even like Aurum, like and then good Sammy kind of being Sammy, like oh we need to help this guy. Like
I know, and Diana's like, did you tell him everything?
literally, like did you tell him everything? Like but like you find out like who Aurum was, and like I think that's really cool that you do that. Like you're present like a character's presented with something and they make a choice. Like it's maybe there's no right, maybe there's no wrong, but like they're doing something but also selfishly because of someone, but like it plays into something bigger. It's really, I just think it's really cool what you've been able to accomplish and like where
you could potentially take us. Like, there's no clear sight into books 4, mm-hmm. 5, 6, and 7. Like, you know, like, you could drag us in any which direction. And I think that's
kind of the unpredictable, like, especially with storytelling, you know? Like, of course, the predictable, like, you know, right now they're, like, happy and stuff. But, like, I like the unpredictability of every character's choices and stuff. And I'm a really big fan, because I love anime. Okay, so hear me out. So I love overpowered characters. We call them, like, OP, right?
Yep.
And I feel like Diana and Sam Kill, of course, could be considered that. But at the same time, there's faults to said power. So everything that's gained, you know, has a repercussion that you'll find out, like I said, later. But, like, I like the dynamic of that, like, unpredictability where every choice has a reaction.
Yeah.
And, which was mentioned in the book, that when Diana and Sam Kiel were in the, yeah, when Diana and Sam Kiel were in the, like, the little lovey phase and talking about the Marek, which, by the way, listen, this is, don't put me on this podcast. My ADHD is going everywhere. Two things. But we were talking about the Marek. I was laughing because someone asked me if I put any of myself in my characters. And I feel like maybe, like, crumbs of myself in, like, all of them. I don't know. Except in this mirror. I'm not psychotic. That's all inspired from, like, movies and stuff I watch. Not her. She's inspired from movies and stuff I watch. And I'm like, this is a good villain. Anyways, yeah. But certain parts. And I can honestly say the one part of me that I definitely put in Diana is her fear of bugs. So me writing in this book,
amazing,
with all the bugs and stuff, and the Marek, which is like this giant crystallized version of a centipede, it grosses me out just talking about it now. But I was with her, like, right here. I'm like, I don't want to do this. But it's mentioned when they're all lovey-dovey, like, about consequences, and it's like, you know, even though the Marek is, like, something stolen from the other world, like, yeah, if I kill it, I'm kind of risking a war with them too.
Yeah.
And Sam Kiel did not hesitate as soon as it touched his wifey. He was like, oh, gotta die now. So that may be a factor in book four.
Again, you write with a purpose. So I had assumed you wouldn't just make them kill a bug for no reason with the mm-mm. comment. I mean, even just Diana herself bringing Sammy back to life, you reiterate over and over there is a consequence for every action.
Yep.
And especially in that last Reggie chapter, that whole, like, I feel like that I was like, oh my fucking God, like, we don't, like.
I am so excited to, like, meet Death again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which Death was one of my favorite, like, that sounds so funny. Death was one of my favorite characters. And like I said, he's kind of been in the background the whole time too. Why is he not? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And the concept for him in my mind is, like, even though you see, like, his true physical form, like the one talking to Reggie, he has kind of like these specters who are like other versions of himself, because like we're talking about like mortals, gods, monsters, beasts, and then you have like the formless ones, and you have like chaos. So like their limit is different than like say a human's limit would be. So for example, while he's talking to Reggie, his like specters, I guess you could say, they're the ones that are collecting the other people anywhere who is passing away. So he's physically not there, but he's like, he's busy, man's busy. Yep, you know. And so he was one of my favorite characters because he does have these other, like, forms. And like you talked about before about being dark romantic-y, I feel like I'm such a spooky girl. And by that, like, you know, like, I love Halloween. That's my favorite thing. I love, you know, gothic poetry, whatever. And one of the things that inspired me was, I can't remember it now because I'm just word vomiting, but it was one of Edgar Allan Poe's poems, and they talk about the raven. And I was like, that is such a good, like, you know, you like mm-hmm. I guess metaphor for what Death, because he that's the bird that's always watching, and Diana's like, who is this, you know what I mean? And he has these forms, and I really wanted Death in my book to be something different. I kind of wanted to go off the basis of like he's kind of what you see, like how you picture Death, so maybe down the road you'll see like the Grim Reaper, you know. But
right.
with him, he kind of takes the form of the people who, like, he talks about passes his gates. And so you'll see, like, an old veteran, or you'll see, like, an old woman we saw, you know. And it was just so fun. It was so fun because this, you know, he's scary and creepy, but, like, him and Reggie are like this, you know.
Because just have, like, a casual conversation.
Yeah, yeah, like, just over tea. Yeah. And it's like, you got to think, because fate is something that's, you know, before people were born or could walk, like, it's just something that's constant. And death is also another, like, constant, which is, you know, how I base the formless ones. And so, of course, they've been, like, buddies. They're just like, yeah, so anyways, what's up with you? You know?
Collecting souls over here. What you doing?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm so intrigued by him. I know, like, it's mentioned a lot too that, like, basically, like, love is the most powerful force, which, like,
which is a concept. How about that?
Sammy gets his powers back because he has to go protect Diana, and then we see when like Nevera and Logan, like, they like, there's kind of like that, like, recognition, and then right back to, and I'm like, that's in my head, like, that's gonna help break them out of this, like, comatose, whatever you want to call it. Which I'm like, so I need the hand back together.
And how much I get those comments, like I said, people who've read and people who will read. And I'm like, yeah, they will, just give me time.
Yeah. I have amazing book four.
Well, we got one back at the end of this one.
Yeah, we get one back.
So that's gonna be fun, by the way. I cannot wait for you guys to see how Cameron and Xavier meet again. So it's gonna be great.
Don't break
with that, I guess, quote-unquote spell, or so you could say, the one that Azriel made for, like, that you could use on any Celestial, but they really want to use it on the hand, and now that it's lost. That also goes back to, like, my inspiration with, like, you know, Marvel. Because, like, Winter Soldier, like, you know, those words, he's off, he's out. And so, you know, you kind of showcase that. And like you said, like, love is, and especially in my world, this super powerful force that defies all odds. And so, like, Logan and Nevra are soulmates to a T, so of course seeing them for even a second, it overpowers even the chemicals in their brain telling them, like, super soldier, you know. And Nevra being Sam Kill's strongest Celestial, which I was so excited for everyone to hear that, because I was like, I wonder if people ever thought about, like, who would actually, like, lead the hand if something happened, because it would be her. She's the quickest, the fiercest, and as you can see, mentally the strongest, because she snapped out of it just like Azriel did, at least for a second. I like I said, I want real consequences. I want real problems. So while I definitely, you know, we want to see the hand again, like, it's still a real issue for those, that thing that, you know, Kaden used. So, but like I said, that just makes it more realistic to me, at least, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And before we let you go, okay, so you said book four is done, but obviously it needs to go through, like, edits and everything. Do we have, like, an ETA on when we can expect book four?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
Okay, fine.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
You can just text ask.
So, I'll just text you guys after, because I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Like, I need to check with them before. I was like, hey, on these, like, my little interviews and stuff, am I allowed to say when we expect the other one? Because
also, just, we always feel bad asking, because it's like, we know three is, we're talking right now and it's not out, but it will be out for the podcast. And it's like, you just spent how long writing this? It's like, these people are fucking asking that goddamn question.
No, it doesn't. It actually does the opposite for me. It doesn't upset me. I'm flattered, really, because it's like, they like it so much, they're ready for the next one. So I'm like,
yes.
Okay. Hand over heart.
I feel like this would be a great series. I mean, it's a great series right now, reading as they come out.
Yeah.
But, like, how cool would it be to just
to binge?
Oh, yes. Man.
That's what I did for Throne of Glass, and I was like, now I, like, sometimes fantasies, you do need a little break, because it is, like, a lot heavier than just, like, a 300-page romance, but I feel like, yeah, like, this would be, like, an epic series.
Imagine the people, like, that find it after it's done and be like,
especially because, like, you're giving us, and again, I'm not going to beat a dead horse here, but, like, you give us very different things in every one of your books with different vibes to them.
Yep.
So it does kind of break up, like, the monotony of, like, is that a continue? Like, what book did that happen in? Like, I feel like you kind of have, like, a really good transition between them all. So I feel like this would be a really cool series to just, like, clap.
Just sit.
Amazing to read it as it comes out, and I'm fortunate that we found you when we did. But it would be really cool on the other side to, like, hear someone's perspective if they just binge it all through.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Maybe, you know, I'm hoping it'll happen one day. So people just be like, so I just finished the entire thing in a week. And I'm like, a week.
You will.
You know?
Yeah, that will definitely happen. 100%.
This is an insane, solid fantasy series, in my opinion.
And I just, like, can't wait for book four now.
Yeah, literally.
I know. I'm so excited. It's,
that should just...
It's great. Everyone's going to be so happy with that one.
So right. maybe have like a drink next to you for book four.
Yeah. It is fun though. I know I keep doing like the side eye because I'm like, I can't say anything. But it is fun though. And there's so many parts that I've laughed out loud. And with, so here's the thing. Like I said, we talked about it again. Dark romantasy, it has heavy themes. I grew up on Buffy, you know, like that was my thing. And Buffy does explore a lot of heavy things, but it's funny and there's humor and stuff. And it's like, I love to incorporate that in there. And so even with book four or five or six or like How I Did with Three, like we'll have those jokes and we'll have the little quirky, funny banter and stuff. And so there's a lot of stuff that happens in four. Oh, there's one scene I can't say, but I made my editor laugh out loud because it's just, it's so Sam Keel. It's so their dynamic. Like it's just, it's so funny. And I don't know. Like I said, I have to have that. Otherwise, if I'm bored, if I'm not laughing, no one else is. You know what I mean?
That's so true. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, it makes it really exciting as a reader to, like, I love books that make me laugh and make me want to cry and, like, are making me, like, sweat and have anxiety. And I feel like so far all three have
all kind three.
Of all of that
was in book three, the bathtub scene was something that I was like, at first I was like, no, maybe this is too stupid. But it was so funny. I had to leave it.
So
I had
funny.
To leave
it. I liked it.
No, it was so funny.
Brandy's and just then, tired.
Yeah. No, you do such a great job. But I mean, this will release after, but we want to wish you luck on release day next week.
Thank you. I'm so excited. That's in 8 days.
Yeah, no,
we're so excited for you.
Yeah.
It's going to crush.
It really I is. Hope everyone enjoys it and loves it. I feel like it's like a breath of fresh air after, too.
Yes.
Like, you know, especially chapter five. So many people messaged me like, he likes breakfast. I'm like, he does. He's hungry.
He does. I was going to say, that boy likes to eat.
Yeah. He's very attentive. He's so, he said, my stitches are up. I'm cleared.
I love it. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. You. I'll be back next time.
I mean, and hopefully just before then too.
Oh yeah. Whatever you guys want. Just let me know.
Yeah. Bye. Well, thank you so much.
Amber. You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, suckers.